And Senator Mike Braun is on the phone with us this morning. Hi, Senator. How are you?
Hey, very good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today. I guess I want to start with you and your colleagues. And what is the latest that you're hearing about when things might be able to open up?
So when we left, the target date would be April 20th. And that was based upon watching what was happening in the D.C. area itself. And since then, they think it's going to be a lagging metro area that's going to be behind many other places up to 10 days to a couple weeks or so. So that's in the state of flux. I've heard discussion that it could be as late as May 1st. We did have one senator, Rand Paul from Kentucky, that did test positive. And by the way, he was basically asymptomatic during the entire stretch of when he was quarantined back in his hometown. So I think there's a real desire to make sure that we're the ones that have to kind of direct traffic on this, that we do it in a way. I think we could easily do it temporarily by remoting or by voting remotely. That's kind of been discussed. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but April 20th would be the earliest. My gut tells me it'll be a little later than that.
It's just got to be so difficult because, you know, we're still hearing about emerging hot spots. Even though some cities are starting to see a flattening of the curve, other areas are just now starting to hit their peak. So it's got to be really difficult to figure out when you can start opening and if you're going to have like a rolling open of the country again. And then you're caught between a rock and a hard place because, you know, you want to try to keep the cases from exploding. You know, you don't want to get any more cases, but the economy has got to be rescued too.
Yeah, it is a definite kind of a pull between those two issues. And I think what you're going to find is in a country like ours, where you got 50 states, this is actually being fought at the local and state level when it comes to the rules and regs around it. And that's not going to change in the process. It will probably learn from what we need to do in a more collective fashion if it, you know, should raise its ugly head here in the fall. And we're going to be caught up on all the stuff you've heard so much discussion about: supplies, ventilators, the vaccine is still, you know, a year away because you can't speed that up due to the protocol it takes to have a safe vaccine. So I think it's going to be clear that we've got to find a happy medium based upon the differences in states, the fact that a good portion of the country has had the forewarning to socially distance one another, shelter at home, hygiene techniques, and that's basically what we've got. And many places have been doing it. And I think here in Indiana, we've seen that it was a potential hotspot due to Indianapolis, Crossroads of America. I think we've done a decent job at it. I liked it when the governor made a common sense adjustment last week for non-essential businesses to be able to do curbside. That made sense. That brought in a lot of other small retailers back into where they can do something. And it's going to be that kind of combination. Sadly, it's been politicized to where whatever is happening, one side will find fault with the other. And of course, the discussion is on testing, is we got to keep things shut down, you know, until we get a vaccine. That is not going to happen. That won't make sense. And I think that's silly because this country is different. We've been fixated on New York and New Jersey. Sadly, they have been hit as hard as any place in the world, and they're now starting to level off. And we do have to be careful that we don't give up any ground that we've gained, you know, to date.
But Senator, it's ultimately, you know, the federal government can do whatever they want, but ultimately, isn't it up to the governor of each state to determine what's going to happen?
It is, as I said earlier, it'll boil down to state and local governments.
Yeah.
Even a mayor can put in a more austere plan than the state would recommend. But I think the focus of direction and how we do this will be mostly coming out of the state governments, specifically the governor. And obviously we have 50 of them, and I think each one is going to do what makes sense for their state. And that's because obviously this disease is impacted every place differently. That homogenized approach to where you shut everything down without being a little entrepreneurial, so to speak, per state, to me is a mistake.
Over the weekend, we noticed that they opened back Wuhan, opened up some things back in Wuhan. Is that a positive for us? Do we look at that as some kind of ray of hope, or is it all different everywhere?
I think when you're opening things up in the place where it started, that's probably possible because they've got a different form of government. They can kind of put the clamp down to the extent that they need to. That's, again, something different, you know, from the way we operate.
Yeah.
But no, I think that's a good ray of hope that in the place where it, you know, started, and just look at that time cycle, and that timing has kind of been in place almost everywhere. In a place like Italy, where, you know, they had that demographic that was very susceptible. You keep, you know, hearing, well, now we've surpassed them. Well, they're a country one-fifth our size. It's been a lot harder on them proportionally than it's been anywhere in a few other countries. But there is that time frame that seems to be in place. It's just a question of how much it overwhelms you before you get to where that curve flattens. And I think here in this country, New York and New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island show us the worst of what could happen when you're totally caught unprepared. Thank goodness the rest of the country, I think, is following guidelines to where we'll be able to straddle tamping the disease down, and as well as reopening the economy in a smart way.
Do you think there will ever be a discussion about the FDA and the time it takes in which to get a vaccine for something? I mean, the red tape that's involved, and maybe, you know, I don't know if it, you know, you would look at special circumstances individually, or would you ever discuss FDA regulations and maybe, you know, loosening the restrictions a little bit for certain
Definitely,
things?
Definitely. Yep. The FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn, when I interviewed him, I said, and this was before we even knew about the coronavirus, what about on other maladies? Like I'm co-chair of the ALS committee, and I've got a bill out there that where there is not a known fix, either therapeutically or through a vaccine or a cure through some type of remedy, that you need to speed the process on a normal drug that can take up to 15 years.
That Whoa, means-
wow.
I don't
think we were prepared for that.
Wow.
Yeah. A vaccine is a year to a year and a half. And there's probably, due to the fact that's fairly quick compared to some type of drug, that can probably be compressed a little bit. We'll have the benefit of research being done in other countries. And that's where the FDA gets stodgy. They don't want to accept anything from other countries until it's fully vetted here.
Right.
We may need to make that exception here. And that's the kind of change when you've got something like this that's so overwhelming. You can't always play by the same game plan. You have to be a little more agile. And I think the FDA will adapt because I think they got a new guy at the helm that came from MD Anderson in Houston. He is a doctor. He knows how to fight disease. He's not a bureaucrat.
We're talking to Senator Braun, who's kind enough to make some time for us this morning. Senator, let's one last thing here before we let you go. Let's talk about the for small businesses out there, and we have a lot of small business owners listening right now. The Payroll Protection Plan, the PPP, where small businesses with less than 500 workers can get a loan that can be forgiven. That has been, it's been very popular, and a lot of people are having trouble getting through. What can you tell us about that this morning?
So first of all, that only came online about a week ago on Friday. The guidance that was not provided, and I think the bill was just signed, you know, maybe a week or so before that. So this is the speed of light for the federal government. Sadly, though, when you've got this much demand, and it is a good program because I think it makes sense, it had some a rough start. But and I was on top of that with the Indiana Bankers Association so that we could get real feedback, not just from the agency itself. And that steadily improved all last week. I had a bunch of texts from business owners across the state that said, thank goodness, thanks for your help. We did get our loan approved, and some of them have been funded. The closing documents were the last thing that needed to be fleshed out, and I think you're going to hear less of that. Now the question is going to be, if we extrapolate here quickly into the future, we will exceed the $350 billion that we authorized. So sadly, we had teed up more. That would have gone through with no one dissenting until the Democrats wanted to start adding extraneous stuff to it again, like they did 3 weeks ago. So we're contending with that right now. We still have not exhausted the original amount, and they know that, but they'll probably play this brinksmanship right up to the point where we do. And to me, that the enhanced unemployment insurance and those direct checks were probably about as good as we could do. It was $2.2 trillion. They're wanting to maybe spend at least double that amount again in a phase four. I don't think that's the solution. I think we got the basic things in place, and we learn from what we've know works, and we now start talking about how we selectively and smartly start to reopen the economy, not have another big round of government other than plussing up the amount for the small business plan, which we're all ready to go on the Republican side. We're waiting on the Democrats.
All right. So in other words, there is a possibility of some more money, if you guys can work it out, coming to fund this PPP.
Exactly. It could have been done last Thursday by unanimous consent, and that can be thwarted by any one senator, and it was done so by the Democrats because they wanted to add a bunch of other stuff to it, similar to what they did when they hijacked it back, 3 weeks ago.
All right. Wow. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes here. And we're just.
There really is. It's like, how do you even keep up with everything? We appreciate that you take time to talk to us because I know you're busy and you have so many facts going in your head. We just really appreciate it.
Well, hey, you need to do it. I think that's what comes when you've been in the real world for 37 years before you became a U.S. senator. That's the way things work, not on this kind of scale. But you got to be nimble. You got to take in a lot of information. And I think that that's been a blessing for me to relate to something like this.
All right, Senator Braun, we know you have another one coming, another things to do here in a few minutes. So we appreciate all the time you spent with us today. And hopefully we can get an update from you in a couple of weeks again.
I hope so as well. And hopefully we'll have this somewhat in the rearview mirror to where we can see a little more clearly in terms of what it looks like going forward, and I look forward to doing it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Braun.
Waking up with Jim, Carrie, and Angie on Classic Hits 101.7.